Hello everyone, welcome to our special Christmas service. Woo! Okay, I'm Abigail.
And I'm Gracia, and we are part of the Christmas committee.
First, we'd like to extend a warm welcome to all of our guests here today. Can you guys just give us a wave? Woo-hoo, just give us a wave. Oh, the friend who brought you, can you give us a wave?
Yeah, you know, we're so glad that you could join us today. And we want to welcome you to our Cool You family by giving you a welcome pack that our ushers have especially prepared for you. So could you or the friend who brought you raise your hand, and then the ushers will come by and give you a welcome pack. Yeah, keep your hands up in the air.
Yeah, don't be shy.
Yeah, just raise your hand up. You know, don't be afraid to keep your hand up. We really want to honor you and your presence because we're so glad that you're here. So wave your hand in the air if you're new. Usher, there are people in the front over there who haven't gotten a welcome pack yet. Wait. Keep it up all the way up until you get a welcome pack.
Yeah, so in this welcome pack, you have a candy cane and also a honey stick to join us in this sweetness and goodness of the season. And also there will be a small book that is titled Message of Christmas for those who are interested to find out more about Christmas. And there's a welcome card inside. So could you just help us to fill it in and pass it to any of our friendly ushers?
Okay, has everyone received a welcome pack yet? Any other hands still raised? Continue with, yeah, there's still some more people at the back near the box who haven't gotten a welcome pack yet. Yeah, so keep those hands up all the way until the ushers pass you a welcome pack. Okay, so to all our guests,
welcome to our Cool You family.
Okay, the service today runs a team about it's more blessed to give than to receive.
May you find the greatest gift of them all.
Yeah, and up next, we have invited two of our youths to share their stories on God's gift to them with you in a very special way.
So our first performer is Ian Ng. So as there are quite a few Ians in our youth, we always ask, hey, is it the Ian who can dance? So this time round, it is the Ian who can dance. So, Ian is also a cell leader in the campus ministry. So we can, give a round of applause.
His sharing is about the greatest gift that he has received, and while his dance conveys the message of God's light to the world.
Let's welcome Ian! Woo.
Okay, hi everyone, good evening. My name is Ian, the Ian that can dance. So I'm a part of the Cool You family as well, and I enjoy dancing, which explains my outfit. So I'm thankful for the chance to share with us today a little bit more about myself. Like some of us seated here, I was born into a Christian family. So this meant growing up attending church, attending Sunday school, and singing songs about Jesus. And actually, I became a full-fledged Christian when I became a teenager. Of course, even though I did not really understand who, what, or why I believed. Along with all the activities came the stories, came the lessons. Lessons about how God loved me unconditionally. About how much He loved me, that He sent Jesus, His Son, to die for me. Lessons about God being a giver of gifts and of blessings. I don't remember feeling anything about it, actually. To me, it was not inspiring, not comforting. Just something I knew, like how maybe in school we will recite math equations, but I don't really understand what they actually mean. That's how I felt. Thinking back, I think a big part of my struggle was understanding how God could love me, even when I had made so many mistakes, when I had disappointed Him so many times. I saw the world through the lens of what we call meritocracy, right? So it's work for reward and reward for work. Makes sense. Even when people told me that God's love was a gift, there was always this unconscious expectation, right, that I had to earn it, that I had to prove myself worthy, that I had to deserve it. Maybe some of us here, Christians or not, can identify with this feeling. However, thanks to God, things have changed. Over the years, experiences, conversations, and stories have helped to reshape the way I think about God and the way I relate to God. If there was one defining moment, it would be in 2012, about 7 years ago. So I was midway through my army, and as a young cadet, I was very excited, very driven, very fresh. I was eager to do well, right? And by all measures, I was doing well. I put in the work, and I got the reward. So somehow or other, God became relegated to the outskirts of my life. I was reaping the fruits of my own labor, and it felt good. So why does God matter, right? Oftentimes, however, success departs as swiftly as it comes. I remember it was a very silly injury, like a blister on my foot. I got it during one of my trainings, and it worsened. And in a matter of days, I missed the important trainings, I failed requirements, and I became what you call as out of course. So, guys who know it as OOC, right? So I became OOC in just a few days. And my world was really shaken, it crumbled. I felt horrible, bitter, and disappointed. Disappointed not just with myself, not just with the situation, but also with God. Right? Doesn't God say that He is a giver of gifts and blessings? So why is this happening to me? I couldn't accept the situation, and it was a really quite a painful phase in my life. Thankfully, in the midst of my self-rejection and my bitterness, God found me. I remember how a chance conversation with my mom led me to the verse in the Bible, and I'll read it out for us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So reading this really struck me deep. Nothing and no one, not even a silly injury or my own frustrations, could separate me from God and to change how God looked at me and how God loves me. And in that moment, the truth of God's love being a gift became clear, it became real. I realized that God accepts me unconditionally. Not only that, He is also actively pursuing me. Even though I have made many mistakes, and I will still make mistakes, all I have to do is to acknowledge the wrongs I have done and to turn towards home. And God is like a father who eagerly awaits his son's return. Even though we are still far away, God sees us from afar and He runs towards us to embrace, to celebrate, and to bless. Regardless of the things I have done and the things I have not done, I am free to enjoy God's gift of love. And so are all of us here. And so I guess that moment marked a turning point in my journey as a follower of Jesus. Regardless of my situation, God's love and God's gift remained as it was, unconditional. All it took on my part was a very personal decision to surrender my circumstance to God. And as it turns out, leaving God in charge is better than doing it my own way. From that painful experience, I might have lost a lot of things. I lost awards, recognition, and a chance to graduate with my close friends. But yet I gained so much more. I gained a new perspective of life. I gained a fresh and a deeper walk with God. And I understood more about my priorities. And by God's grace, actually, I had a chance to complete the course at a later stage. And of course, how this happened is quite a miraculous story, and maybe I can share more later. So this Christmas, what am I grateful for? I'm grateful for the gift of Jesus. Make no mistake, God is perfect, God is holy, and God is righteous. At the same time, He is also unconditionally loving and pursuing us. To quote a verse from the Bible, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Indeed, in every and any situation, God is with me, with us. So, to end off, people ask me why I enjoy dancing so much. So I'm actually quite a private, I'm quite a shy person, right? And I think dance enables me to communicate my feelings, to express my feelings when words fail. As a language in motion, dance helps me to communicate not just with the viewer, but also with my Heavenly Father. The next piece you'll see is a dance piece. It is in part a response to the gift of Jesus. In a world filled with rejection, with loneliness, and with dark moments, God sent His Son to be the light for the lost and the love for the lonely. So I hope you sit back, relax, and enjoy the piece. Thank you.
waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Thank you, Ian and his team. Yeah, I think that we could really hear and see that Jesus is indeed the greatest gift who brings hope and light to us. Yeah, and to those who also search after him. Yeah, so what is the greatest gift that you have received from someone? Yeah, it could be the same as Ian, which is Jesus, who gives life and light. Or it may be forgiveness from someone who have hurt you or you have hurt someone else. It may be a friendship. So let us think about this even as we watch the next performance.
So our next performer is Andre Shum, who is one third of the talented Shum brothers in our youth. Coincidentally, Andre's brother is Ian, but not Ian Ng, so it's Ian Shum. Yeah, so Andre is 17 this year and is part of our worship ministry and also from our Taros cluster. Taros cluster! Woo! Yeah, so I asked Andre to tell me what about his performance, you know, like, what do you mean to say? And then he said, I quote, "I can share about my song, but my sharing is about how real and true the love of Jesus is."
Wow, that's deep, man.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's welcome Andre!
Hello, I'm Andre. Sorry, I'm very nervous. Yeah, and today I'll be sharing about Jesus and how real His love is to me. And for most of my life, I've never been able to accept myself. And I would always be stuck in my head and put myself down and reject myself every time I do something wrong, or even if I did something right. And every success and every victory that I had the next day, or even like when I reach home, the first thing in my mind is the shame, insecurity, and like what I could have done but what I didn't do. And I could never find a reason why I didn't have any confidence in myself, or why I didn't love myself. And for 2017, it really hasn't been an easy year for me, being in JC and a new environment, you know, with new friends, new people. And it's hard trying to fit in and also carrying all these baggages from back then. And in the past few years, I've been trying to search for love. You know, we have so many interpretations of what love is, but I was really searching for something true. Like trying to find love in relationships, both ways, and trying to find it in friends, in family, and even in God. And these different groups of people, they've always been loving and caring for me. And I can't say they haven't, no. But the thing is, inside me is the fear that one day I'll be betrayed. One day they'll leave me. One day they'll forget who I am. And because of that, I choose to close up and keep my distance. And yeah, close up my heart to their love. And I've come to realize and to see that the whole world can give their love to you. Even God can give His unconditional love. But if you choose to close up your heart, you'll never receive any of it. And you'll never see a change. But however, something inside of me started changing when I talked to my mom. And she shared with me her experience when she carried me in her womb. I wasn't even in this world yet. And my mom is a pastor in this church and she's been serving for many years. But in the time when she was carrying me back in her old church, it was a time where it was really difficult for her, and where everything just seemed to be falling apart, and she was burnt out from serving and burnt out from everything. And as she shared the emotions she felt when she was carrying me, she shared betrayed, how she felt betrayed, how she felt helpless, hopeless, and rejected. And those are things that I carry with me now, every single day. No one has to do anything to me, but the thought will just reside in my head and it won't leave. But knowing this story, it helped unlock something in my heart, something that has always been shut. And it wasn't now because I could like blame my mom. Oh, it's because my mom went through that I became the person I am. It's not because of that. I don't blame anything that happened to her on what happened to me. Because her struggle was real, and for me, yeah, it's just something that I do have to get through. But I know for sure that I was not born with these feelings. And my mom always reminds me that on my second day in this world, I smiled when the photographer took my picture. And that's my photo. And the photographer said that it was something very rare, you know, very rare for a baby boy to smile on the second day. And whenever I think back to this memory, I just think of, you know, that moment of innocent and pure joy, and something that I don't have anymore, or I seem to not have anymore. Yeah. And it's something that I really want back. And I was so tired of this darkness, and I wanted to step into the light. And a vivid experience of God came during a recent church camp. And for me, my aim for this camp was just to rest and recuperate, play games. But there, God found me in a very different way. On the last night of camp, I felt that God wanted me to pray for everybody. And like, I didn't understand why. Like, why would you want to pray? Why would you want me to pray for people when, or even show love to others when I felt so empty and lost inside? when there was no love inside of me to give. But choosing to open up my heart and to say, yes, God, I will do this for you, showed me the true love of Jesus and how real he was to me. And I can honestly say that that was the first night in about an entire year that I slept with peace, without the desire to end everything, like I've been thinking before. And I want to tell all of you today that knowing that someone loves you may not be enough. You have to let yourself feel it. And when I opened my heart to Jesus, I felt it. And now in Jesus, I hope every day. But life has definitely not become easier. The stresses remain. But Jesus changed my heart and brought peace to it. For God so loved this world that he gave his only son for you and for me. And he's truly the greatest gift that I could ever receive. And every day, I choose to pursue him, and I know he pursues me. And I realize that all my hope and all my life is only found in him. And the joy that I've lost and that I desire for is only found. I mean, the joy and the desire to have it back in my life is a choice. And it comes when we choose to hope in Jesus. No matter what struggles you may be facing in life, you know, if you really want this joy back and you want this love back, I want to encourage every single one of you to reach out to Jesus and choose to trust him and his love for you. Personally, music is a great love of mine. And out of this struggle I just shared, I wrote a song. And I'll be sharing it with you today. I'm not sure if the lyrics will be on screen. I think they will. But I hope that it will touch your hearts. Yeah.
In the womb, a mother had a tough time to get through all of her struggles and all of her pains flowing through my veins. But there was joy in that hospital room. Her baby boy smiled on day two. His innocent joy would be taken away, lost among the days. Now the clock shows a quarter to three. Awakened by insecurities, the stress of the battle within myself is breaking and breaking me. The darkness, it taunts me, telling me I should be, and ripping apart the person I am. I'm on my knees and my hands. Though the darkness may be dense, I will not relent. Chasing, I'm chasing after the light. I'll run and not be faint. Choosing every day to praise your name. Though the darkness may be dense, I will not relent. Chasing, I'm chasing after my joy. I'll run and not be faint into your embrace. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son to heal, to forgive, to save. He loved us to the grave. Yeah, you love me. they do. Yeah, you love me. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you love me. Yeah, you love me. Yeah, you do. How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us so. He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. Sing if you know. All of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. Oh, and all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. And if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. If heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart burns violently inside my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us.
Andre, for sharing so openly with us. I think it's a lot of courage to share your inner hurts with everybody, and all the more to see how much God loves all of us in spite of it. Yeah, so you know, his journey was to search for the gift of love, and he found his in Jesus. So I guess the question for all of us is, have we found the gift that we'll be looking for? Yeah.
Hope that you got a glimpse of what God has done in their lives.
And God's gift of hope and love for us all.
Yeah, so now we would like to invite our dear pastor, Pastor Peter, to come and share with us.
So he...
Okay. Yes. Can we just give a round of applause once again to Ian, Andre, and the different ones who have just put everything tonight. Okay, very good evening to all of you. Just want to wish you once again Merry Christmas. And for those of you who are here for the first time, I want to especially welcome you, right? Because you are honored guests. I want to thank you for being here with us. And I hope that you make yourself feel at home. And just know that you are always welcome to visit us anytime. Now tonight I want to take this opportunity to share about why we celebrate Christmas. Now did you know that a man goes through three stages in life with Santa Claus? You all know Santa Claus, right? So first, he starts off as a child and he believes in Santa Claus. Next, he grows up and like a youth like you, he no longer believes in Santa Claus. And finally, he becomes a father, and guess what? He becomes Santa Claus. Alright, and if you think it's funny, can you just humor me by laughing? Ha ha ha. Okay, not ho ho ho, because you are not yet Santa Claus. Okay, now, Christmas giving is actually a very big part of culture, whether you believe in Santa Claus or not. A UOB survey, right, I think done about 2 years ago, estimates that Singaporeans spend an average of $700. That's a lot of money, alright, on Christmas gifts. But my question, as I thought about this, is, does these gifts satisfy us? If you look at the next slide, right, as UOB used to say, the men don't get it. Actually, you take a careful look, right, the women also don't get it. I think they got it worse. Right, so the question is, does these gifts satisfy us? And I'm sure that among you here, hopefully not this Christmas, but many of you, maybe in other instances, have your fair share of receiving gifts that you don't quite want or quite need. Now, so why do we celebrate Christmas? Beyond all the Christmas gifts, we celebrate Christmas because of someone whom I consider the most controversial person in history. And he is none other than Jesus. And tonight, you know, even as you hear Andre and Ian shared, right, I believe with all my heart that he is the best Christmas gift I have ever received. So I hope that since all of us are here, that you just give me 10 minutes to explain why I believe Jesus is the best Christmas gift. And by the end of tonight, I hope to give all of us a chance to receive this gift into our lives. Now the Bible describes Jesus as a gift. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So let me ask you, suppose you could receive either a gold bar or a chocolate bar as a gift, which one will you choose? Gold bar? Very obvious, right? We will want a gold bar. But if you were to be stranded on an island, which one will you choose? You're very hungry. Which one? Still gold bar. You must have teeth that is like gold, you know. Yeah. So I think the answer is obvious for us if you're stranded. So is Jesus truly the best gift? I think the answer will be yes, if we recognize that we need him desperately, like a chocolate bar on an island. And we just read that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish. If we are honest about this world that we live in, it is very apt. Alright, the word perish is very apt. And you probably know this when you encounter friends with divorced parents, or you read about the news where there are wars and terrorist attacks. Basically, from families all the way to nations, we are as if on this self-destruct mode. And today, even as I'm sharing, perhaps you could be one of those who's going through some sort of suffering. Now, no one needs proof that the world is actually in a bad state. But I think the question on our hearts that we are always searching for an answer to is, why is the world like this? Right? Or can we actually do anything to change it? Now, think about the last time that something bad happens to you. Can you imagine if your friend tells you, "Hey friend, come on lah, you know, that's life, just suck it up." No, right? We all want to know, why is the world like this? So why is the world like this? According to the Bible, the world was very good when God first created it. And the world only became what it is today because of men's selfish choices and sinful actions. Now, I know this is not a very popular belief in the world, but think about it, like how a country like Myanmar versus a developed country like Singapore, right? How a country like Myanmar can constantly come out as the topmost generous country. I think this gives us a hint, right? That don't you think that our moral choices have actually got a far greater impact than our human intelligence or human wealth? So it's into this kind of perishing world that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. And why do I say this Jesus is the most controversial? Three reasons. Number one, he is supposedly God, but he became a man. Two, he's supposedly God, but he was killed on the cross and he died. And three, he came back to life. Now you and I probably, we have never ever met someone who has came back from death before. Anyone? No, right? Superman not counted, huh? Right? So the Bible tells us that even Jesus' friends found it very hard to believe. And I really love the Bible for being so honest. You know, but while this story is incredible, it's not illogical or irrational when you understand that Jesus has his own reasons. So if I could sum up Jesus' reasons in one word, that one word will be love, right? As we just read, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So let me give you an analogy. Right? Have you ever helped someone to clean up his room before? Anyone? I do that sometimes, right? And only for that person to mess it up again. Now, how do you feel when somebody does that? Right? You feel very angry, upset with the person. You feel like you want to ignore the person and don't want to help the person again. Right? So in the same way, right, when we look at Jesus, Jesus was a person who wanted to come to clear up our mess. And why did God choose to become a man? Because God loves us so much. Right? He's not like us, however. He's not the kind of person who will just clean our mess once and then feel like, okay, I just want to ignore this person if he no longer responds to me. But Jesus loves us. There is no way, absolutely no way, that he can just sit back, relax, and leave us to our own devices and let us just continue to perish. So because Jesus loves us, he became a man so that he can show us up close the right way to live. You follow me so far? Are you all doing okay? Alright. Okay, and this brings me then to the next question. Right? If Jesus came to show us the right way to live, why must he die? You see, Jesus became a man and in all his life he did no wrong. In fact, Jesus went about showing people the right way to live. But did you know that when you choose to do what is right, you can actually gain many enemies for yourself? And Jesus won many enemies for himself because he went around showing people what is right. And I know you can understand this because I know that from time to time, you also have your fair share of becoming less popular when you choose to do what is right. So people who hated Jesus, what they did was that they falsely accused him. And in short, to cut a long story short, they executed him on a cross. And this, by the way, was the most brutal way back then to kill somebody. Now, if you are like me, you'll probably be thinking to yourself, how come this God, right, if he's really God, how can he be killed? And why is he like so pathetic? If you're thinking like this, once again, you are not alone. The Bible tells us that the people back then also posed this question to Jesus. But what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't lie, ta-da, you know. But instead, Jesus did not answer and he just died. Now, why? Why was that the case? So let me explain by giving you an illustration. Now, suppose you are a judge and the guilty person is your son. And you know that your son is guilty of a charge that warrants him to have to pay a fine that he cannot afford. Now let me ask you a legal question. What happens in Singapore when you cannot pay the fine? You go to where? Church? Where do you go to? You go to jail. Right? So what will you do, my friends, if your son was in that situation? Right? You know that he cannot afford it at all, but you're very sure that he's guilty. Will you sentence him? Or will you pardon him? You see, my friends, this is actually the predicament that Jesus was in. Jesus loves us so much, but he cannot overlook. He knows we are guilty. He cannot overlook our selfish choices, our wrongdoings. So what Jesus did was that he chose to die on our behalf. Jesus was the judge who pronounced his son guilty, but ended up paying the fine for him. So when we think back about Jesus' death, we know that by him choosing to die an innocent man, he actually already paid for us in advance the punishment that we deserve. Okay? Do you realize that? That we needed to pay a cost, but Jesus has already paid for it, right? The tax has been paid. And by that, he also gave us a chance to be forgiven. And so with that, I want to move on very quickly to the last point about Jesus coming back to life. Now, if Jesus is really God, I don't think anyone here will doubt that he is able to come back to life. But I think the more puzzling question must be, why didn't Jesus make it more obvious? Right? When Jesus come back to life, it's really something very spectacular. So why didn't he make it more obvious? Or why didn't he broadcast it on YouTube? Or something to that extent, that once he did it, the whole world will know. Right? And instead, what Jesus did was that he appeared to the few people that followed him. Why? I think the simple answer, once again, is love. Because Jesus loves us, he chose to reappear to us in the way that is best for us. Now, what do I mean? Now, today, you'll actually find tons of Instagram posts of those like very fit people, obviously not me, right? People whom you esteem as what is called body goals. Right? This is a youth lingo, right? Yeah. So, if we are honest, these people, they often impress us, but actually, they do little to impact our lives. I don't know about you, no matter how I look at them, my belly is still very big. Right? Instead, the better thing for us is for us to have personal coaches training us up close, isn't it? Right? How many of you actually are into fitness? Quite a lot, I see a lot of strong biceps. You all know, right, that you really need people who are coaches, who will motivate you, who will guide you, who will point out exactly what's strong and what needs to be changed. So in the same way, Jesus has chosen not to impress us with the spectacular things that he did, but he has chosen to impact us up close. If you like, he's chosen to be a personal coach. Right? So Jesus reappeared to his disciples, to the few, and he focused on changing them. And as he changed them, he also, in turn, gave them the command to go off and change others. Right? So he guided them in their lives, helped them to learn how to love, and in turn, his disciples were the ones who go out. And that's how the Christian faith is passed down to us today. And so, friends, today, if you ask your friend why he believes in Jesus, and he tells you that his life changed, that when he turned over a new leaf in life, when he says that that is actually his best evidence for giving his life to Jesus, this is not a cop-out answer. You understand? Right? Because why? This is actually the way that Jesus has chosen to work. It has been that way since 2,000 years ago. It has been that way ever since. That Jesus' way is for one person's life to impact another, for his love to pass from one person to another, for your friend's life to impact yours, and I believe for your life in turn to impact many others. So tonight, let's look at this verse once again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Alright? And this, my friends, this eternal life that I talk about includes the life change. Right? People turning over a new leaf that I just mentioned. Right? But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that when you give your life to Jesus, all your problems will disappear. In fact, sometimes you might even feel that there are more problems in life. But when we believe in Jesus, it also means that we should follow his example. And Jesus' example has always been love. This is what our world needs. We live in a world of suffering. And the ultimate proof of Jesus is his love passing from one person to another. And the ultimate expression of this love is forgiveness. When God forgives us, when we also learn to forgive those who might have hurt us in one way or another. So, just invite us to take this time to reflect on our lives. And as we reflect on our lives, I'm sure there are times that we did wrong to the people around us. Now, if we give our lives to Jesus, Jesus is a compassionate God. And as we give our lives to Him, maybe some of us here, you might be feeling the weight, the guilt of doing something wrong against your loved ones. But you know, when you give your life to Jesus, because He is compassionate and He has really died for us, He is able to forgive us. He's able to change us. He's able to help us to become people who are more loving, and in turn, that we can go to people that we might have hurt to kind of reconcile with them. At the same time, we also live in a world of suffering. And because there will be people who hurt us, we need Jesus' love to heal us of the hurts. And my friends, there is really no way that we can overcome suffering in this world except to love and to forgive. Now, I know this is not an easy thing to do. And maybe even as I share this with you, you can already feel the pain of people who hurt you. And maybe it's very difficult because some of the people who hurt us very often in our lives are our family and close friends. But my friends, this is precisely why we need Jesus to grow our love. The more difficult it is, the more desperate and the more in need we are of His love. So tonight, I think I've shared a lot. So I just want to conclude by asking us to close our eyes. Can we just all across this room close our eyes? And let's just take a moment to thank Jesus for His love. And friends, if any of you here know that you need to experience the love of Jesus, you need more of His love, you can just take this time to ask Him. You can just say in a very simple prayer, Jesus, I need Your love. I need You to heal me of the brokenness, heal me of all the hurts that I've been through. To fill my heart with so much love that I can begin to love the people that I've always found it very hard to love. And as all of us are doing that, I also want to take this opportunity to give a special invitation to a special group of friends. Now, if you have never given your life to Jesus, tonight I believe that God is giving us a personal invitation. Maybe some of you here, you have been searching for love and happiness in all sorts of places, but you can't find any. Maybe you need hope and help at this present point of time, but you can't find any. You could be struggling in your family, in your school, with friends, struggling to find love among friends but feel rejected. Or maybe life is great for you, but you know that you have been living only for yourself. And the selfishness is just eating away at you. Perhaps you know very well exactly who is right now suffering because of you. My friends, if that is you tonight, I believe it's a chance for you to give your life to Jesus. God is waiting here. He has given you this invitation. And He's inviting you with all His heart to give your life to Him so that He can forgive you and that He can change your life. So my friends, if you need to give your life to Jesus, tonight I want to give you an invitation. And what I will do is that in a while's time, I'm just going to count to three. And if you know that you need to give your life to Jesus, can I just ask that you raise your hand? Right? Raise your hand as an expression to Jesus that you want to give your life to Him. And raise your hand as an indication so that I can just pray for you wherever you are. And know that I myself can facilitate this decision, this invitation for you. But only you, my friend, can take it. And God has prepared everything for you, including giving His life for you. But you just need to do that one small thing. That is to take a step of courage and raise your hand. So at this juncture, I will prepare you. Right? I want to start to count to three. You can take the time to prepare yourself. I will count very slowly, because I know this is not an easy decision to make. And some of you here might hesitate. But friends, please do not hesitate anymore, because this is also the best decision that you can ever make. Right, so just prepare yourself as I begin to count. And let's also take our eyes, keep our eyes closed, everyone, no looking around, so that everyone here has personal space to respond. So one, remember that Jesus has given of Himself to you. Two, remember that we all need Jesus desperately. And three, raise your hands. Anyone here, you know you need to give your life to Jesus. Thank you, I see your hand. Just keep it up for a while. Thank you, I see those hands. Just keep it up for a while more. Right, just keep your eyes closed, everyone. But for those who raise your hand, thank you so much. Not just I see your hands, but I believe God has seen your hand. Anyone else, you've never given your life to Jesus, but tonight you want to give your life to Jesus. 10 more seconds. Right, so just keep your hands up. Thank you. Anyone else? 5 more seconds. Right. Don't let this chance pass you by, because we may not get another chance again. All right. Okay. You may put your hands down. And I'm just going to say a simple prayer for you. And if you are one of those who have raised your hand, right, just receive that prayer in your heart. So let's just pray. God, we want to pray for all our friends who have given their lives to You tonight. God, help them to know You more. Help them to experience Your love and Your forgiveness. Forgive them, Lord, of all their wrongs. Heal them of all those hurts that they have been through. And God, we just pray that You help them to love every single person around them, even for those who have hurt them. So God, tonight we just ask that You will impact their lives in a beautiful way. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, Amen, Amen. Shall we just stand? Invite all of us to stand quickly. And why don't we just give a round of applause, alright, to all our friends who have raised their hands just now. Come on, just give a big round of applause, because it is not an easy decision, but they have made this life-changing decision tonight. Okay, in a while's time, I'm just going to invite AJ to lead us in a song. But can I make one more request? Is that okay? Yes? Alright. You are tired, is it? Okay, I'm just going to make one more request. And what I'm going to do is that I just want to invite those of us... Oops. Alright, I just invite those of us who have raised your hand just now and given your life to Jesus. As we start singing, can I just ask that you come to the front here? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But there are two main reasons why I want you to do that. Okay, the first reason is that when you give your life to Jesus now, this is your personal decision. So it's good that I have prayed for you, but it's also good for you to make your own commitment to God. And if you would so graciously come to the front, I can closely guide you here to be able to say a simple prayer to God. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is that I would just want to share that, you know, this is your personal decision. But this is not a decision, or the journey ahead is not something that is easy for you to walk out alone. And I'm very sure you want friends who can be there to encourage you, to guide you, and to support you. So if you come to the front, we will have some friends who will be here to just encourage you and maybe share a little bit more, right, of this decision that you have made. Right? So without further ado, I'm going to ask AJ to lead us and just start coming. Alright, I know you might be sitting somewhere in the seats, but people will know where you are going. Alright, so just kind of force your way out. Alright? Come on, just feel free to come to the front as AJ lead us. And if you have brought a friend, and maybe you know that your friend is a bit shy, why don't you also come forward together with your friends? Alright?
Before the world began, you were on Israel, and every tear you cry is precious in His eyes. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son.
Now come on, just come forward. All right, don't be shy. Come on, let's just give them a round of applause.
So you would cry.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, come. Anyone else?
Could make Him love you more, and nothing that you've done could make Him close the door. Because of His great love, He gave His only Son, and everything was done so you would come to the Father.
I'm just going to invite AJ to sing this song one more time. And as she does that, y'all can just feel free to come. Even for those who you didn't get to raise your hand, but you feel that you want to give your life to Jesus, you may do so. All right? And then after that, then will we lead everyone in a prayer. Okay?
Before the world began, you were on His side, and every tear you is precious in His eyes. Because of His great love, oh, He gave His only Son, and everything was done so you would come. And nothing you can do can make Him love you more, and nothing that
I'm just going to take this time to lead us in a very simple prayer. And it's especially for those of us who wants to give our life to Jesus, whether you're in the front or in your seats. And so this is what I want to do. I will say this prayer line by line. And as I do that, for those of you who do know Jesus, but you want to give your life to Jesus, at least you understand what this prayer is about. Right? But as I say the prayer, can I just invite the whole church to just repeat after me. So for the friends who are giving your life to Jesus for the first time, you can understand what I'm praying the first time round, but subsequently when the church prays, you can follow along. Is that okay? So can I invite all of us to close our eyes and take this moment to pray. Alright, and let's just follow after me. Jesus, together church, Jesus, I thank You for loving me. I thank You for dying on the cross for me. Today I give You my life. And help me to experience Your love. Forgive me of all my wrongs. And help me to love the people around me. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, Amen, Amen. Shall we just give Jesus a big round of applause?
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.